Last week, we looked at Acts chapter 2 about the gift of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, God pouring out His Spirit on His church, and that allowing the church to give a powerful witness of Christ to the surrounding community, and the Spirit of God convicting people of their sin and convincing people that Jesus Christ is Lord. The power of the Spirit is the power to expand the reach of the gospel and to grow the church. It's a beautiful chapter, Acts chapter 2. This week, we're in Acts chapter 11, and we see the power of the Holy Spirit in action in really an unusual way. It happened in the time of disruption. This one little paragraph that we're going to read, Acts 11, starting in verse 19, is one paragraph about one church that shows us the work of God in a time of disruption. Let me read to us. "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. And there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." This is a really powerful picture of the work of God in a time of disruption. It's about the establishment of the church in Antioch. But as I said, it's a testimony to God's sovereignty. And if you notice the very opening line, we hear these words, "those who were scattered because of the persecution." That's a time of disruption. Now, again, going back to Acts chapter 2, we see this beautiful outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, the gift of the Spirit. And two things were happening at the same time. On the one hand, there was growth, there was expansion, the church was established, there was great joy. On the other hand, there were challenges and even objections to the gospel preaching from the apostles. There was persecution, and there was growing pain within the congregation itself. So we're not saying before we get to Acts 11 that there were no disruptions and that life was always easy. Life is never easy when light invades darkness. There's always going to be some kind of a clash. But if you look back at Acts chapter 6, you can get a summary statement of what was happening before we get to this point in the book of Acts. And so if we go to Acts 6 and verse 7, it says, "The word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." Now that's a good summary. In other words, things are happening. God is working. People are coming to faith in Christ. The church is growing. But the very next verse in Acts 6 starts a major disruption. It's the same disruption that we're reading about in Acts chapter 11. And again, it says in verse 19 of Acts 11, "They were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen." This is where the persecution is happening. Stephen was a disciple of Jesus. It says about him that he was a man who was full of faith. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had been given a task in the early church. His job was to oversee the care of the widows in the church. And he was also a very powerful preacher. He preached to the religious leaders about their own sin, their own unrighteousness for crucifying Jesus. And he also testified to the righteous one who is Jesus. And this offended the religious leaders. The Bible says, Acts says, they were enraged at Stephen and his preaching. And so not only had they killed Jesus, but they killed Stephen for preaching the gospel. And this is what led to this great persecution that we're reading about. Some of the believers from Jerusalem who were persecuted, they were scattered from Jerusalem throughout Judea and Samaria. And then this is also where this man named Saul enters the picture, because he was one of the persecutors, and it says of him that he was ravaging the church. That's a strong word. He was tearing the church. He was ripping the church. So scattered is usually not a good thing, but ravaging is always a bad thing. And so this is not just a simple or a light disruption. This is what you would call devastating. I mean, if you can imagine the fear of these people, they have become followers of Jesus. They've become a part of the church of Jesus Christ. They've started caring for one another. They're witnessing about Christ, his death, and his resurrection. And now people are being killed. They're actually being hunted. They're on the run. They're being ravaged, and they are scattered. Now, it's been my experience and observation that very few people initially see disruption as anything other than devastating. It takes time to regain our spiritual footing. It takes time to see that somehow the hand of the Lord is actually in this. But that's exactly what we see in Acts chapter 11. The hand of the Lord is with them, because some of these faithful, scattered people went to Samaria and they preached the gospel to Samaritans and people believed. A man named Philip, who was a part of this persecution, he worked with Stephen. He shared Christ with an Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian, no doubt, took the faith of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to Ethiopia. This man Saul, who was actually ravaging the church, was chasing after followers of Jesus, only to be struck down, captured, and transformed by Christ. And he actually became now a missionary for Christ to the Gentile world in Central Asia and in Europe. And here we see in this city of Antioch, the hand of the Lord is with the people who were scattered there as they preached the gospel. They shared the gospel with Gentile people. And a great number believed in Jesus. And they became a congregation gathering together to worship God and make disciples and share the gospel and take care of each other. They themselves were discipled. In fact, as we read, this is the first time that a group of people who follow Christ are actually called Christians. And we read just two chapters later in chapter 13 that this congregation became a launch pad for missionary activity, the missionary activity of Saul, who became Paul, throughout Central Asia and into Europe. Why? One reason. Because the hand of the Lord was with them. The hand of the Lord is alive and active, even in times of disruption, even when things look devastating. Sometimes Christians are scattered in fear, but the hand of the Lord goes with them. Sometimes gatherings get canceled and postponed, but the work of the Lord never does. Sometimes we have to shelter in place and stay safer at home, but the Lord doesn't. His hand is never weakened. His hand is never restrained. In fact, we can be confident that we're going to look back on this disruption someday, and we're going to see that the hand of the Lord has been with us all along. So let's see it in Acts. Let's see it in the city of Antioch. Let's see it in history so that we can trust it for Middle Tennessee. So we can trust that the hand of the Lord is with us now. Let's look to the Lord. Let's look for the hand of the Lord. Let's trust the good hand of the Lord in your life, in this congregation. Let's pray for it. And then, because we're rooted in this history and we're rooted in this truth of God's strong and good hand, let's move on. In faith, hope, and love. The work of faith, the labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope. And let's trust God for the outcome. I have no predictions. We're going to leave that to the Lord. But we believe in the promise of His good hand. I've been asked by some, what do you think is going to happen in the future? What is the future going to be like for life and for ministry and for church and for Grace Community Church and for our country after this disruption? And here's my answer. I don't know. Maybe some will continue to be scattered. Surely in life, there's going to be some more disruption. Maybe we're going to have to stay home again. But based on the character of God and the history of the hand of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk into whatever that future is by faith, with hope, and in love. This week, take up Acts 11 again, read it, pray about it, let it go deep into your soul, and let's trust the Lord together. Again, our Father, we pray. We thank you for this encouragement, Lord. We thank you for the Bible that gives us pictures of you, that captivates our minds with the vision of your grace and your goodness and your power. Lord, we thank you for this simple little phrase, and the hand of the Lord was with them. That says it all. And we pray, our Father, that that phrase would be for us a morsel of truth that would seep down into us and cause us to trust. But also, Lord, cause us to continue the labor of love and the work of faith, knowing that you're with us. None of this is in vain. And we need the power of your Spirit to believe that. Glorify your name in this season through the preaching of the gospel, through the service of your church. Glorify your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.